Get ready. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Comedy Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guestish host.
Yes, Paul's back. And if you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 135 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is September 24th. Our main stories this week, the Apple versus Epic saga continues. We will take another quick dive into the new legal and honestly very petty news surrounding Apple and Epic. Our guest is going to discuss some recent issues with getting hired at game studios and what to look out for. And naturally, we will discuss our takeaways from this Thursday's Nintendo Direct. But first, let's get to our headlines. A new Death Loop patch today says that it will partially fix the game's stuttering issue for PC. The new version of the game is now available on Steam and the Bethesda launchers issues of the game. Apparently, according to Bethesda, the patch addresses an issue experienced by some players on PC, whereby mouse-based camera movement could result in the appearance of a stutter. That's straight from the patch notes. Bethesda also said that a separate stuttering issue caused by high frame rates on PC will also be addressed pending more information.
Mojang, the developer of Minecraft, is said to be working on two new game projects. Currently, the details of what these new games might be is unknown, but a report from Windows Central states that based on a number of sources, Mojang will be working on some new non-Minecraft-related video games. Video games. There seems to be some speculation coming from Minecraft social media accounts, which often show Minecraft in the style of other popular games like Terraria or Stardew Valley. While details are still unclear and speculation doesn't mean much to us at the moment, we are expecting more news on that pretty soon.
A few weeks ago, we spoke about the restrictions in China aimed at younger gamers, which would only allow them to play video games for 1 hour on the weekends and holidays. Last week, we spoke about added restrictions on these games that would allow the government to review for content they deem to have the wrong set of values. Those values including quote-unquote effeminate men and gay love. This week, we are reporting that the latest in the series of crackdowns, including a whistleblowing website that allows members of the public to report video games and or developers who may be violating the new restrictions. The current reportable restrictions include games / developers not requiring real name registration for players, games or developers not complying with the time limits, and games or developers that are not doing enough to control in-game spending. There are not yet categories for other previously reported criteria, such as sexualized content.
And finally, in a recent blog post on Rune Factory 5's localization blog, we've received word that the game will be including same-sex marriages. According to the blog post, the team has been arguing in favor of same-sex marriages for years, and they have finally gotten the capacity to introduce it in the latest game. Though the game has been released in Japan without this feature, the blog post states that it will patch the ability to marry characters of the same sex as either Ares or Alice, the male and female protagonists respectively, in the near future. Players in other regions will be able to access the feature on day one of the game's release, which is currently set for March 22nd, 2022.
And those are just some of the headlines from this week. Honestly, just a few, because there was quite a bit. But if you have some other news you want to talk about, if we missed something, later in this episode, please also feel free to tweet at me at ComedyJaceGaming or tweet at WKCoolDown.
I always feel obligated when we're going through the headlines to bust out my best Weekly Cooldown Seth Meyers voice. I don't know why every time.
Like a Weekend Update.
Yeah, exactly. Weekend Update. Like you're super low, cool, chill down, and I'm just like I'm trying to sound like a news reporter who's reading the news, and then I'm gonna say a joke at the end, and you're going to laugh. Except I don't do the joke at the end. I just read a thing.
I wish that like. I could bring out the more like animated side of myself when I do this. I don't know why I can't. It's very hard.
Can we turn weekly cooldown into the weekend cooldown and just make it a weekend update weekend podcast? Update?
Maybe. There's an idea. Always looking for new ideas. Hey, we've got a guest.
Oh man, I always do this.
Oh man, who's the guest?
Who is the guest? Who's that?
It's hey. Me. It's Hey.
It's Hey.
I haven't been on in a very long time.
That is true.
And
Hey, remind the people who you are.
I'm a freelance artist and gamer waifu.
Mm-hmm. That explains it.
That's basically it. I do a lot of stuff.
Are you going to be streaming your art anytime soon for the masses?
I would love to do that. I really need to get back into things, do some art streams, maybe do some karaoke streams too. Looking karaoke into doing streams. That very soon.
Mm-hmm. Twitch is an open field for you to do tons and tons of cool things.
Hell yeah.
Other than karaoke stuff, is there like any particular games that you're either looking to focus on or have been focusing on recently?
As for my gaming habits,
I will say this is different than what have you been playing this week. I'm pivoting a little bit.
It is a little bit. So I love rhythm games, especially Ooh. Mobile rhythm games. Ooh. So I was thinking of getting a complicated rig so that I could show the world how good I am at D4 DJ. My phone is currently a piece of shit, but I'm really trying to like workshop like how many wires I need to work with my plug-in capture card so I can make this happen.
That's I was waiting for you to bust out Voez or something.
Oh god, well that's a good idea too. I definitely am very good at rhythm games. I have a few like top 200 global titles on various mobile rhythm games back when I haven't ranked in a while, but you know how it is. Or maybe you don't, but you should know.
I've truly never ranked in anything in my life, so congratulations.
I get really competitive when it comes to, like, rhythm games, especially, you know, gay, gacha, like, tailor-made for this lesbian rhythm game, where, like, D4 DJ, where there's events, and then you can rank during the events, and it's, like, a limited ranking. And yeah, I haven't played in a bit because I'm sad about my phone my phone being old, but I am still very much excited to play
more.
We'll
get there. I
just Googled D4 DJ and I see a girl in a ball cap. It's for the lesbians.
Hell yeah.
And I'm sorry, it says her hat says Peaky. Is that supposed to be like Peaky Blinders, the British TV drama?
One of the bands is Peaky Peaky. They're wonderful.
I like my theory better. I just want to believe she's really into just like serious British
I mean,
dramas.
Maybe that's where the name comes from.
Oh my gosh.
The whole
it sure
group loves Peaky
but...
Blinders. So before we move on with the rest of the show, I do have one story that I wanted to include in the headlines. But I thought it might be better as like a get to know the guest kind of thing. And of course, you get to know us as well. So recently it was reported that a bunch of crypto miners wanted to use about $9.5 million to get a retired cruise liner, sail over to Panama and build like an underwater utopia where there's no laws. They soon discovered that there were too many laws for them to do that, including, and this is very true, the one where they had to dispose of, human waste, and they couldn't do it in the waters around Panama, so they would have to sail out 12 miles, offload it in international waters, and then come back to Panama to continue building. So, if you were wondering what it takes to build your own Rapture, Bioshock, it takes $9.5 million in probably cryptocurrency, a parlay with the Panama government, who I guess were allowing these guys to do this, and you got to figure out where to shit. So those three things. You gotta know how to talk to the government, get a whole lot of money, and know where to put your shit. So my question though to all of you is $9.5 million, you have it, okay? You have the money. Are you building your own rapture? Yes or no?
Not with $9.5 million. I need a lot more than that.
Apparently you can do it with this
I
amount of money.
refuse to believe that you could build anything meaningful like that for $9.5 million.
Mind you,
I could build a deck.
Yeah, I could probably build a nice house in LA.
it's 9.5 million with cryptocurrency, which means that it's like a fluctuating amount of money that
Okay,
may
so
also
not
be
only
a
is it
whole lot.
$9.5 million, but it's $9.5 million that nobody gives a shit about. That's
Monopoly money.
God, it's
Great.
9.5 million. Yeah, you may as well just be printing Monopoly money.
That's true.
Okay, I have
Are you?
$9.5 million in fiat currency that like two people accept, and I'm supposed to make Rapture.
Yep.
Are you high?
It's not my story. They did it. They were going to do it, but they couldn't figure out where, again, this is true, where to put the shit.
Okay, Jason, I'm going to turn this around on you. How would you build Rapture for $9.5 million? What does that budget look like?
I'm not saying this has to be rooted in any kind of reality, because it clearly isn't. Okay, these guys thought that they could just go to Panama with a goddamn old Disney cruise ship and build Rapture until this was the point in the plan where it all fell apart. They said, "Oh, we have to go 12 miles and 12 miles back to dump the sewage. No, that's too much." And then they said no. So the question is not about can you do it realistically? It is would you do it if you could?
How much does it cost to
I
dredge
can't believe this.
water? Let's see.
Hey, are you building Rapture?
It costs $24 per cubic yard to dredge water in San Francisco. They dredged 5.3
What are
million
you?
yards worth
Wait a minute.
of cubic water times 24.27. That is a nice looking, let's see, that's hundred, that's
I'm
hundreds,
talking
thousands.
about.
It costs $131 million to dredge all the water that was dredged in San Francisco
Okay, so
between the years of
listener, if you would
2014 and
like to know if I
2018.
would build Rapture, the answer is yes.
I would
If you would
also build Rapture.
if you would like to know my answer, the answer is I couldn't.
In reality, no, absolutely not.
I'd go like buy a cave to live in, I think.
I
Just
would
by
just
yourself?
build
Really
a
nice
nice
dirt.
house for
Yeah, but
$9.5 million.
these
Here's the
people
link I
wanted a
put, by the
whole
way, I just
thing.
put it in the Squadcast chat. That's the link I used to find this information.
I will say I am impressed by your research skills.
I am too. I actually can't believe I found this.
I am very impressed with your research skills.
In all fairness, I did find the most expensive one possible, so.
That being
Times
said,
three.
I mean, it is an absolutely ridiculous
Oh,
story,
it's only
right?
2.9 mil. Okay, you know what? It might actually be doable. You know what? I would build Rapture. I would build Rapture with fiat currency.
They
100%.
fiat currency, there you go. They truly wanted to take this money to the seas of Panama and build what they're calling civilization. That's not me making the joke, by the way. They said this.
I have
You
questions.
can't make this shit up.
You can't.
I could
I wish I
try.
did make it up. It would be funnier if I did.
It would be
It
funnier.
would be
I would watch
funnier
the
if
net
we
I would
made
watch
it
the
up.
Netflix comedy about this.
But yeah, I mean, knowing what happens in BioShock and the sequels to BioShock, I would still definitely just be like, yeah, of course. You want to have a New Year's party in the underseas? Hell yeah, let's
Which
do that.
version which which Okay, no, I've got a good question for learning your guests. What thinly veiled allegory would you apply to the rapture that you built?
Ooh.
For me, my rapture would be about the perils of social media addiction
Ooh.
and the attachment that you can form to others parasocially and in seeking validation from others. That would be my rapture.
Good Lord.
So going back to my rapture being just like a nice cave to live in, there's an episode of one of my favorite anime actually, Sayonara Zetsubou Sensei, where the main character is like, I want to not be informed about anything anymore. I just want to live out in the middle of nowhere and not be known about it, not be known, not be observed, and not observe anything. And then like they get a carrier pigeon message. So that's kind of what I'm leaning
That's a
towards.
good one. That's a good one. I think mine would be like the perils of not having like proper media literacy in your civilization.
Ooh.
Like the perils of having quote unquote fake news and then like actual fake news and being completely unable to discern between the two.
That's
That's
yeah, we
it
need
weighs
that.
heavy on my heart, honestly. Well, this was the perfect question. Thank you for
I
participating in
got
this.
to spend 5 minutes telling some millionaires why they're fucking morons.
Yeah. And I mean, I got to dunk on them about like being stupid in the first place. Like, hello?
True. True.
You're just gonna let's just go to Panama and talk to the Panama government. We've got money, LOL. Anyway, we are gonna take a quick break and get back to the actual news when we return.
In a world of what are yous, welcome to the place where the answer is always human. My name is Natalie, and I'm the host of Some Kind of Brown. I was born and bred in the Southern Bible Belt of the US, and if you know anything about the South, growing up multiracial was some kind of an experience. Join me in this community where I share my stories, am joined by guests who share their own, and talk about pop culture events that affect us as mixed people. You can find Some Kind of Brown on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and most places you find podcasts. I'll see you there with some more Shades of Brown.
Is that an ice cream truck?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the show. So, we've got news. Yes, we do. We've got news. How about you? Let's take the first story. I'll read the little blurb here and then we'll get into the chat. So, without further ado, the Apple versus Epic saga continues. A few days ago, we received word, well, a few weeks ago, we received word that Epic had more or less won the latest ruling in the ongoing case between the two companies. As a refresher, Epic had introduced a system in Fortnite that allowed players to bypass buying items in the game through the Apple Store, allowing all the profit to flow to Epic. Now, in a separate ruling, it was affirmed that Epic breached a contract with Apple and had to pay Apple $3 million as a cut on Fortnite earnings. But in what is being called a permanent injunction issued by the courts relating to a violation of California's unfair competition law, Apple is restricted from prohibiting developers from having any sort of contact with customers directly, including with in-app purchasing mechanisms like Epic had. Basically, meaning Epic kind of won the war, except for with this new wrinkle where Epic, or excuse me, Apple has restricted Epic from the App Store and refuses to host Fortnite. Tim Sweeney, CEO of Epic, says that he will appeal this with the courts, but that this new appeal and this new action could take another 5 years of court back and
What a
forth.
shit show.
That is
Yeah.
an interesting take. Jace, I'm actually going to disagree with that blurb that you've written just a little
What
bit.
did I do wrong?
I don't think Epic wants shit.
Doesn't he?
I mean, Epic kind of broadly accomplished their end goal of making Apple sort of tear down the walled garden a little bit in allowing external purchase input
Sure.
for their apps, but they weren't doing that out of the kindness of their heart. They were doing that so they could make more
Oh,
money.
no.
They got fucked. Not
At no point did I say that Epic was doing anything like for anyone else other than
yeah.
Epic.
I mean, Epic technically made a win for consumers. Actually, not even really a win for consumers. They won for other companies, but they didn't do shit for themselves. They got kicked out of the Apple store. They can't come back. They might not even be able to come back for 5 years, and Apple has permanently shut them out. That I don't see any
It was
world, I
a,
don't see any
it's
world where Epic
because
has actually won this.
they Apple has to allow, you know, other methods of payment on their bullshit now.
Sure.
Right. It was a win, like, when that first ruling came out, and then Apple was like, okay, but we're not gonna have Fortnite on your store. So now it's a big just like
Yeah,
Now
because
it's just stupid.
the courts didn't force Apple to allow Epic back on, because the courts were like, Epic, you did break your contract
Yes.
explicitly.
Yeah.
Having
I mean,
said
they
that,
totally did, but Apple shouldn't be allowed to do that anyway, so it's double fucked.
yeah. There's no real winners here, but I think Epic was the bigger loser, honestly.
At this point, yes.
Apple
If
can eat it.
anything, it's because Apple is in a bigger position to punish people that go against what it wants,
Right.
which sucks, and I
Yeah.
hate it.
But can you truly root for either side at this point?
No, you can't. They both suck.
They both
They
suck.
do. I've said it. I don't care, Apple and Epic fans, at me.
I want to know the person at Epic's legal team who was like, "Yeah, just make a big fucking deal out of the fact that you're intentionally breaking your contract. Let's just make a trailer about it. Surely this won't backfire." I want
It's
to
very
know
strange.
who the lawyer who decided that that would be okay, and I want to know how quickly they got shit canned after this ruling came down.
You heard listeners, get on it. I rely on your research,
It's true.
not my own.
We don't do any original work here.
No, not for the most part anyway.
I do.
yes, you do. The guest, always original.
Oh
Me?
boy, you've got the most original research possible, actually. I just realized.
Yeah, I just
Cripplingly
Google
so, in
stuff.
fact.
Hey, do you want to talk about your experience trying to get hired at Riot Games with us?
Oh, I would hate to, actually, but I'll do it anyway because it needs to be heard. A good few weeks ago now, I applied to a very legitimate, and I'm not being sarcastic, actual real job post from Riot Games that linked back to their official profile on Indeed. I usually use Indeed for all of my job hunting because I've been trying to get a day job that is art related. So anyway, this is where it starts to suck. So I applied for an artist job at Riot Games, and almost immediately I heard back, or rather, I got an email from a few emails that used the domain riotgames.careers, which was a little bit suspicious.
Yep.
But during my search online, I was not able to find anything that would contradict the fact that it was legitimate, so I proceeded. And at this time, I also sent the Riot Games support Twitter a little message that said, asking if I could verify this information. And I got, nothing. No human being
Cool.
whatsoever for weeks and weeks. So anyway, I had been following up with this line of communication because it appeared to be very legitimate. I did a whole interview. I had people that were posing as Riot employees, and yeah, I'm saying posing now because it was a scam, and I'm really mad.
Yeah.
I wasted weeks of time. I answered like dozens of questions. I wrote them an essay. They even called me with a real cell phone number that I still have, and told me that I got the job. So naturally, because that is a huge pay raise for me, and life-changing, I was very happy. I told everybody I know about it.
Ah.
And
Yeah.
wouldn't you know it, after I signed the very real-looking offer letter, yeah, they had documents for all of this that had copyright, confidential, blah, 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 logos all over it. I'm pretty thorough. So it was only after that I signed the offer letter and was all happy that they asked me for my credit card information. And it was allegedly to buy Apple products that I would use on the job. I'd buy them. They'd either wire the money to me and then I'd buy them, and then I would send the Apple products to them to so that they could put the software needed on it. It's bullshit. No company does it like that. If you hear that,
No.
it's a
No,
fucking
no,
scam.
no, no, no.
So anyway, I was like, well, what the fuck is this? So I reached out to the person that they were posing as on LinkedIn. And I told them all about what was happening. And then in the communication with the scammer, I said, hey, can you reply to my message on LinkedIn? And they said, sure. And then blocked me.
Okay, I respect the timing.
I talked with a real Riot employee finally after weeks of, like, I mean, literally weeks of trying to get a human at Riot to help me discover if this was a fraud or not. I discovered it all on my own because I couldn't reach a fucking human. I
Jeez.
messaged their Twitter, I called their office, and all of it was like, if you're having problem with a game, please submit a ticket online. And it's like, it's not about a game. I'm not playing your games. I'm trying to discover
This ain't
whether or
about
not I'm
Valorant.
being scammed actively. So anyway, like I had to go and PM like a person's LinkedIn, because I couldn't get into Riot or talk to any person at Riot. And they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We'll forward this to the security team right away. And I was like, you better, because I actually applied at Riot and somebody somehow found out and emailed me using the information that they had obtained that I had applied at Riot for the position and everything.
So just to be clear, initially at the very start of this story, you did apply to the real Riot
Absolutely.
Games.
I applied. I sent in a real application to a real opening at Riot Games for real. And somehow a scammer found this out and sent me emails posing as Riot employees and led me on for like a month. And it was all some harebrained scheme to get my credit card information. Like, they prepared countless documents for me to sign. It was really convincing and
That means
really
they probably got
disgusting.
you. They got your like social security number then and
They
stuff
did
then.
not, thankfully, get my social security number. All they have, is my name, my address, my signature, what my ID looks like, and my phone number. And you can find all of that online anyway. So, what's so fuck then?
Not to mock scammers of all things, but it would have been so easy to just have you fill out a W-2.
No,
Yeah,
well,
that's.
you see, this is actually the third job scam that I've had to shield from
I was
Indeed
gonna say
in a month.
I didn't want to open up new wounds, but.
Yeah, and the first job scam that I encountered, I did fill out a W-2, so I had to freeze my credit at all three bureaus. I contacted the police, and you know what? They said, freeze your credit at all three bureaus, thanks, bye. So you know how that went. You know, and I was like, I have the phone numbers of these people. You could look into it, maybe. Nah, they don't give a fuck. They don't. And there's a million job scams out there because people are so desperate for work and people are so hungry to take advantage of that. And it's fucking disgusting. It makes me so mad. And if I find out who you are, I will rip you apart with my bare hands. Thank
Get
you.
their asses, hell yeah.
So yeah, that's basically the story. Thank you, Hay, for sharing, first of all,
No
because
problem.
it's
So, hey, that fucking blows. I'm
See?
sorry.
Yeah, I
it really
know.
does, and
It's been a
it's
lot to cope
happening,
with the past few days, to
I
be
don't
honest.
blame
And like
you.
Hay
said, it's happening literally all over the world, really.
Yeah, and it's
There
not
were
even like just Riot Games. Like, hundreds of companies are getting
Yep.
impersonated. Hundreds of people, thousands probably. Like, every single day, job scams are a huge problem, and they are so easy, and nobody is doing anything about them.
That is correct.
Yeah, when I was getting hired at Blizzard, thankfully the interview process was conducted over Zoom, and as a result, I was able to like visually confirm I was talking to the people who I was talking to, because you know I try to it was like it was a pretty high profile, relatively high profile job. It's like, oh, I'm doing QA for Blizzard. I want to make sure I'm actually talking to Blizzard about this. And so I was able to look at the guy who I was interviewing with and confirm his stuff on LinkedIn, you know, check all the emails and all that. And so Yeah, you got to be really careful about that stuff whenever you're working for a whenever you're applying for a job. And I'm not obviously criticizing
Oh,
the employer.
no,
I'm speaking to the
definitely.
audience right now. You got to be careful if you're going to apply for a job like that. Check the emails. If something doesn't sniff right, honestly, hey, you did the right thing. Riot kind of screwed you over by not getting back to you within
They
any
sure
timely
did, and
manner.
I'm super salty about it. Very salty.
I'm salty to hear about it, honestly.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys the worst part about this.
Oh
So
Lord.
after this had all blown over, I
There's
got
more.
a DM from Riot Games support on Twitter yesterday afternoon that was like, "Oh, sorry to hear about this, but glad you figured it out on your own." And I was like, "Fuck you."
God.
It's really terrible. Not only that you were kind of targeted here, but also that you can't get through Riot support because they think everyone is calling or DMing about a game.
No, yeah, literally, like the automated system was like, "Which game are you trying to talk about?" And it's like, "I'm really not." I called their office, and it was like, "If you're not here to call a, to talk about a problem in game, then please wait while a receptionist answers the phone," and then it hangs up on you.
Huh.
No joke. I called them like 8 times. I was like, "Hello?" Nothing. I'm glad that the person I was able to reach out to that was being impersonated was super sweet about the whole thing. I just
Yeah.
hope Riot itself does something about it. I hope that job sites do something about this. And we need more integrity in this society, or we're all gonna fucking flip our shit, because
It's
I know
very
I'm there.
Hey, pretty much handled it correctly. I do want to give some general advice to our audience. If you believe that you are potentially being held up in a job scam, biggest thing you can do is check out the email. When I say check out the email, I mean actually click on the email address in the email that you get, because sometimes they're disguised. Click on them, see if it actually says whatever address at company.com or at company.org or at some, sometimes it'll be at dot biz, but that's very uncommon, especially for larger companies like Riot or Blizzard or like Nintendo. It's always going to be at that company.com. They have the money to afford the domain. It's usually an internal domain that they run themselves, so they don't have to worry about people impersonating for that reason.
If it's at representatives.com or it's at something.careers, do not fucking trust it. It takes like a second to register for those domains, I found out. Like, they don't require anything like that. And don't trust it even if you talk to a real person on a real phone line, like I did. Because I know now, and in hindsight, it's pretty clear I was talking to a scammer.
Make sure that it's not just coming from a Gmail account. By now, especially
Yeah.
with bigger companies, they may be using Gmail, but it's usually, at riot.com still or something like that. They disguise the domain, as it were, because they can pay for it and they own it through Google. There were stories like this. I just took a quick dive into searching about other people who might have gone through this, and there was an artist who had an email sent to them from who they thought was Naughty Dog at the time. It turned out to not be Naughty Dog. They wanted them to download and print out a check to deposit into their account. The check was for about $3,000 that they would have lost themselves, because once you deposit the check yourself, they have all your routing information. They have access to that account, basically. So it's scary. But be on the alert. These things are happening more and more. More scam calls are happening. Ever since the pandemic started, actually, there's been, I think, don't quote me on the number, but I think the last I heard was like a 250% increase in scam calls.
Sounds right.
Across the United States and probably the world. So just be extra cautious. Just take it easy.
And you know, even if the job listing is extremely legitimate, It could be like what happened to me, where somebody gets that data that knows that you applied to a legitimate job and follows up on it
Yep.
fraudulently.
And to that end, Tay also hit one of the biggest points. If a job offer is contingent on you paying money for equipment, or is contingent on them paying you money up front to purchase equipment, that is almost certainly a scam, because
Yeah,
what they are
if
trying to do
they're
is they're trying to get information from you, or they're trying to get money from you, or both. In that case, they were trying to get credit card information to quote unquote purchase equipment. Companies like that have expense
They have
policies
a
that they
finance
have.
department.
They have
Or they'll
finance
already
departments.
have the
Yeah.
device ready to just mail you. They're not going to mention any of that shit.
Yep. Yeah.
One of the my previous job that I am now wrapping up, I have to send the equipment back. They sent it out as soon as like everything, yeah, like they sent it out. I didn't have to pay for it. They didn't ask for payment, you know, like
Yeah.
Now,
They
to that
have it.
end, I will say there are some things that in as part of the application process that do seem scammy, but for the most part are not scammy. Generally speaking, a simple art test or a simple coding test may be a part of an application process for larger studios, as long as they're not involved and are not usable for actual product. Those types of tests are okay. Be wary if somebody offers you a job contingent on a coding test or an art test that may be something they could actually use in a product, because in that case, they may be trying to get free labor out of you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I had a scam like that too. I got an email that was like, "Can you complete 4 full color finished pieces
Yeah,
within two
no.
days for us? We're a clothing line, by the way, no watermarks." And I was like, "Absolutely not! Get out of my inbox."
And honestly, even if that is a legitimate test, they clearly don't value your time or your work. That's not worth it.
Not worth, too scummy. Don't work
No.
for them.
Also, if somebody just offers you a bonus up front as a signing thing, unless it's done through their HR and through payroll, that's not legitimate either. Don't
Yep.
go for that either.
Hella sus.
All right. Very good. Well, a very bad situation, but a very good kind of analysis
One last piece of information.
through
When
the
all
three of
else
us.
fails, Google is likely your friend.
Yeah.
I just wish that like Riot stuff wasn't like there was like no information for me to verify it. And everyone I tried to reach out to, like I submitted a support ticket, I called their office, you know.
Yeah.
You did
So
everything right.
companies should probably make their hiring process, I don't know, a little
Better.
bit. There need
Better.
to be protections against vulnerabilities like that.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Absolutely. So
Okay. Can I read this next one? 'Cause
Yes, of
Jesus
course.
Christ.
Let's spend the next time doing this thing.
Nintendo surprised everyone on Wednesday evening, announcing a new Nintendo Direct happening Thursday evening. If you caught it live or got to see the recording, then you now know about a myriad of games coming soon. Kirby's Forgotten Land, Mario Party Superstars, which I think was previously announced, but they gave more details on it. A new card-based RPG created by Yoko Taro called Voice of Cards. They showed some more Splatoon 3 gameplay and gave some more information about it. And finally, well, in addition, they finished off with a Bayonetta 3 trailer, complete with some gameplay and a broad release window of 2022. And also maybe Dante from Devil May Cry is there. I don't know if it was actually Dante, but it kind of looked like him. Anyway, the biggest news of the evening, though, was that they announced the cast for the
The biggest.
Illumination Mario movie,
That's the
and
biggest news.
that's the biggest news. No, it
No.
actually is. I'm not even kidding. So they announced, among other things, that Chris Pratt is going to be the voice of Mario in the upcoming Super Mario animated movie. Charlie Day is going to be Luigi. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be the voice of Toad somehow. Does anybody remember who Peach was? It's not written down in the notes.
It's Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, and fucking Jack Black is going to be Bowser, and Seth Rogen is going to be Donkey Kong.
It's
Cracking a
absolutely.
barrel over my head, killing me instantly.
I just
It's
want to. I. You go ahead, Jace.
fascinating, honestly. It just really is to me.
You don't have to do this necessarily, Jace, but if you wanna cue your streaming chops a little bit, Marcy and Marlo were streaming during the Nintendo Direct, and I 100% guarantee if you went and grabbed the audio of that stream, you would hear me across the hallway screeching with laughter from my room.
Oh my god!
I'm expecting a monster performance by Jackson.
Holy shit, okay! Oh my god!
I'm looking forward to great comedic moments. Even though this is a Mario movie, Donkey Kong will have a new appearance. He will be played by Seth Rogen.
What have you done?!
I'm eager for you to see a humorous Donkey Kong by Seth's son. And of course, Charles Martinet, who has voiced Mario and many more Nintendo characters in our
doing?
Games
I guess
over
he gets...
the years, is also involved.
Involved?
Involved. He's gonna be a surprise role. He's gonna be Yoshi.
I 100%
oh,
guarantee you could grab
I
that
think
audio.
That was the kind of, like, I think all at once we had a uproarious laugh across the world at this news because
I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?" And then
I
they were like,
seen...
"Charles Martinet cameos."
Yeah, Charles Martinet.
I have not
cameo.
Seen anyone's reaction be anything other than like screeching, like absolute screeching, absolute laughter at first of all Chris Pratt. Like, I don't think anyone's ever asked for anything less than for Chris
no,
Pratt to be Mario.
Nothing less.
But then it was like, and here's Jack Black. And you were like, wait a minute, excuse me? Charlie Day? What's happening?
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong!
It was truly like one of the... It made the presentation for me, honestly.
Like, I feel like I'm really fixating on the Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong thing, but I don't think I can emphasize how insanely batshit that is.
It's in my head, it doesn't fit.
His laugh. It's his laugh. I think it has to be his laugh. He does kind of have a Donkey Kong like laugh a little bit.
I guess, but it's like none of it fits for me. I don't know.
Charlie Day's Luigi's is fucking inspired.
That's fucking
I will. I think
the
only
that's
casting. That's fucking inspired. If nothing else, Charlie Day's Luigi. I'm super into it. And
yeah.
Apparently Mario is going to talk a ton in the movie, which is interesting for two reasons. One, Mario, like, Mario never fucking talks.
No.
Like, that's, like, one of the Nintendo credos, is, like, Mario shuts the fuck up in the games. The most Mario has ever spoken in any game was Mario Golf Toadstool Tour, where he had two taunts and two jeers that you could do.
IDK, he has lines in the story in Super Mario Sunshine.
How much does he talk in Super Mario Sunshine, even
they
though, like,
did
everybody
give
else
all
talks?
Of them some lines in that one, from what I remember. Like,
they
everyone spoke in that one.
Yeah, even Bowser talked a lot in that, with, like...
And Bowser
like,
Jr., Luigi. Who was voiced by Bart.
It's really fascinating. I mean, I don't know who I was expecting for this, but it wasn't any of these people. And...
Yeah, that's for sure.
It was just... both delightful and incredibly cursed to see first Chris Pratt and then like the rest of the cast. I'm truly in it for Charlie Day, Jack Black, and Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. I'm like, my comedy dreams are being like realized right now. I'm very happy about this. It's second only to, by the way, I don't know if anyone remembers, but we did get some news a couple months ago about the Sonic 2 and who's playing Knuckles, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So at this point, I'm like, maybe we don't get to be surprised anymore. Like, isn't this is just what's gonna happen now? They're
like,
gonna
do
get
we...
these.
But Idris Elba's Knuckles is also very inspired, though.
It is.
That's
yeah,
blessed.
No, agreed.
But the surprise of it is like, wait, who is playing what?
No, yeah, it's just like, do we need this? Does this need to happen? And it's apparently, regardless of whether it needs to happen or not, it's happening. It's
legitimately, if you kept the rest of the cast and just replaced Chris Pratt with Charles Martinet, I'd be happy. I wouldn't care. Yeah. I wouldn't care if Charles Martinet only voiced Mario and everybody else was voiced by different characters.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. The dude whose almost entire life's work of as something he's actually been established as is Mario, being mostly booted for the movie except in cameo
relegated
appearances.
Relegated to cameos.
Relegated to cameos. Oh. Yeah, like,
and
what the fuck?
Bottom on the cast list. I mean, come on.
He should be at the top. It should be his name in lights. He made Mario a person.
Yeah.
Well, the Mario movie aside, what else are we looking forward to?
Bayonetta 3, Animal Crossing Update, the
Brewster,
Kirby game.
Baby! You have so no idea. Also, Jace, go back to the audio of the stream again, because whenever Brewster got announced, I went, woo, let's fucking go, really loud, and I'm guaranteed that audio showed up as well. Play the clip.
Play the clip.
Play the clip.
Animal Crossing. Ooh.
Oh, shit!
Oh, hell yeah! Finally! Oh, I was just thinking about how...
That was loud. You heard it.
There was a game I'd never seen before until this direct, and I think it was called Air something.
ActRaiser?
ActRaiser. That's what it is.
Yeah, ActRaiser was a game made by, well, I'm gonna Google it because I forgot. ActRaiser. I literally talked about it like 30 minutes ago. It was made by Quintet and published by Enix.
That's right.
That's right, way back in the day.
That's why the character was Squex on the fucking...
Yes.
Because Square Enix also, I believe, subsumed all of Enix's properties as part of merger. And ActRaiser, I'm not going to talk about it too much because I've never played it and I know very little about it, but it was a very unique game for the time in that it merged a couple of different genres together. It took the side-scroller hack-and-slash action genre and merged it with a city sim, of all things.
Yeah.
Which is just absolutely mind-blowing. It was like God Sim meets side-scroller. Which, considering that both those genres, well, I mean, side scroller had been pretty well already beaten to death by that point, but like god games weren't really a thing.
Yeah.
And so you took like this pretty okay side scroller and you attached to it a pretty robust god game, and you've got something weird.
But it looks like super cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love what they're calling realm management, you know, like city building. I loved it in, like, Dark Souls. I love SimCity. So adding a kind of side-scrolling RPG element to it is just... You're right. It's a weird combination, but it's, like, a good one. More games should do this.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Quintet properties getting resurrected, because if ActRaiser is getting remade, that means we could get Terranigma getting remade, and if Terranigma gets remade, that means we might get Illusion of Gaia getting remade, and I am so fucking ready for fucking Illusion of Gaia Resurrection. You have no idea.
Yeah. Chocobo GP, what do we think?
Oh, I'm getting it. I'm getting it. I'm gonna race you. I'm gonna race everybody.
I saw somebody call it shovelware on Twitter, and I was interested by that. It's somebody who, like, I'm actually kind of friends with, so I don't want to dunk on them too hard. I don't want to dunk on them too hard, but I think it looks good. It looks like they kind of took some things from Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed specifically. It looks like there's sort of an equivalent of All-Star mode in the racing game, which is a very cool comeback mechanic that effectively acts like a gold mushroom, but it has some extra flavor to it. I think the item system looks interesting, having stacking items. All in all, it looks like it's going to be a really solid kart racer for the Switch, and I'd be willing to bet we'll get a PC release for it too. Honestly, yeah. I think it could be, and I'm not kidding when I say this, I think it could be the next Sonic All-Stars Racing.
Transformed. Very good. I agree. I love kart racers in general, so I will be getting Chocobo GP. for every console if it comes out on every console.
What else was announced during the Direct? It was such a blur. I'm still stuck on Seth Rogen's Donkey Kong.
It was truly a jam-packed Direct.
Oh yeah, Kirby's getting a 3D action, 3D adventure game.
Yes.
Full 3D environments. I'm gonna fucking play the shit out of that. You know, because this is the first time that Kirby has had a full 3D environment. He's been side-scrolling in 3D since the N64. Like,
the closest we've had to Kirby Forgotten Land is fucking City Trial in Kirby Air Ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not... I made a tweet during the trailer. I was like, man, the City Trial city just really has gone to shit lately.
Splatoon 3 looks good.
I'm very excited. I need to mention something that I just saw. Reggie Fils-Aimé made a tweet with the cast of the Mario movie saying, "Guess I failed the audition."
Aww. Poor Reggie.
Poor Reggie.
He had such a shot.
What would Reggie's role have been?
As himself.
As himself, yeah. He needs no introduction.
That's fair. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
We already talked about it, but again, I'm super excited for the gay-triotism inspired update for Rune Factory 5. Yeah. By that I mean same-sex marriage being in RF5 is like a deal maker for me, because I'm still very sad about the current Bokumono / Story of Seasons title being terrible. So
Story of Seasons, that was what Harvest Moon became, right?
Yes, it's true, and I could talk all about what happened there, but I won't.
Bonus episode.
I'm just saying, they made two of the best games in the series ever back to back, and then they made a terrible one immediately. So I'm looking forward to Rune Factory 5 as a nice alternative, because it's made by the same company, it's just slightly different. You know what it is.
I've never played Rune Factory before, but about a year or so ago, I got really, really into Stardew Valley. I got really into Stardew Valley, and now that I've played Stardew Valley, I understand the appeal of both the genre, which I knew there was going to be something in there for the genre for me. I've tried to play Harvest Moon a few times. I just couldn't get into it. Actually, I tried to play Stardew Valley a few times, couldn't get into it. Finally got into it because I was playing with my girlfriend, and knowing that Rune Factory is kind of adjacent to Stardew Valley, especially like there's like a dungeon crawler aspect to it, right?
Yeah, there's fantasy farming and a little bit of, and there's combat too. Sometimes there's like monster raising and things like that. It's a cool twist.
From what I understand, Stardew Valley has more in common with Rune Factory than it does with Harvest Moon, although it obviously draws a lot from Harvest Moon as well. And knowing that, I am very excited for Rune Factory 5. I can't wait to check it out.
He's a long-time fan of Marvelous's Bokujo Monogatari series and its many names it's had over here. And honestly, they would have... Well, no. That's a story for another time. I was just going to say, like, Trio of Towns, amazing. Definitely play that. And then Friends of Mineral Towns remake, absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. Definitely play that. Yeah. All of Town, don't play that shit. I know. I pre-ordered the deluxe version and bought the season pass.
we should and probably will have like a hey goes over all the farming sim / Harvest Moon like games in a bonus episode.
That would be because sick as hell. Are you kidding me? I am a farming nightmare.
I'll leave that to y'all too. Stardew Valley is my entire interaction with the genre at this point. I'm not sure I'd have much to add besides, hey, y'all heard about Stardew Valley. It's pretty good.
So we have to move along toward the end of the show. And we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for, hey?
Okay. let's see. The new WarioWare, sick as hell.
Sure.
And then next month, around my around my beloved fiance's birthday, there's gonna be Metroid Dread.
Oh,
and there's gonna be Super Monkey Ball. So that's what I'm primed for, but I'm like a Nintendo slave, so.
What Nintendo says you play, you play.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I also bitch about it if it's bad. So.
There you go. You're doing it right. Paul, what do you got?
Today for the weekly cooldown, I have to suggest that the game you play is meditating upon the fact that Seth Rogen is going to be Donkey Kong in the Mario movie.
Yeah, I guess.
That's really, I gotta say, that's, we were all played on that one.
Are you telling what people to play Donkey Konga? Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze? Donkey Kong Country? Any of those?
I'm gonna say, you know what? Fuck it. Final Fantasy 14's got a free trial. There's an expansion coming out in a couple months. Go play Final Fantasy 14. I started playing Final Fantasy 14 again last week. You didn't ask what we were playing, so I'm gonna tell them anyway.
I've been doing that too. I think there's
we're all on it.
Do you want to change your answer?
We all play 14. Don't pretend.
Yeah, you do.
I resubbed a couple weeks ago, and the bug bit. I hit level 50 on Dark Knight the other day, so I'm a tanky tank boy. Yeah, the story's still good. You've got three Final Fantasy games for free, and a fourth one if you want to pay for it, and a fifth one coming out in like 2 months. Go play Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, go do it.
Wait, you don't get Stormblood with free trial, right? You just get Heaven's Sword. You get, okay, go play Final Fantasy 14 because it's two free Final Fantasy games. You get to play a Final Fantasy game and you get to play its sequel. And then if you want to pay money for it, you get two more Final Fantasy games. And then another Final Fantasy game is coming out in November.
Yep.
You got so much. And it's really, really fucking good.
And also Yshtola's there.
Summoner's looking great.
Yshtola's there, man. Go play for Yshtola.
I'm actually going to switch to Reaper as my main. Yo. Come 6.0. I'm going to be slicing shit up and getting possessed on purpose as a part of game mechanics. Please look forward to it.
You said melee DPS? Okay.
I've only played caster or healer before this, and right now I'm actually a ranged deeps because I switched my main to dancer.
Ooh.
I was a black mage main since the 1.x series, but there are a few reasons why I am no longer a black mage main.
Did you say since 1.x?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Fucking bless.
We played old in the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Before, yeah, I have legacy perks, and so does Mr. Kami Jace over there.
Yes. Even I only started playing in 3.0, which is funny because like somehow I ended up being the reason most of my friends ended up playing Final Fantasy, not Jace.
Yeah. That happens.
I still don't get that.
I don't inspire much.
I inspire too much. Nobody should listen to me. Nobody should listen to me. This podcast is great. Nobody should listen to me.
They're going to turn it off. What have you done?
Well, we're at the end of the podcast anyway. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
They have to listen to this part.
I got my paycheck.
Which is where I tell you to play Deathloop. And then I also ask... Oh, to finish this episode off, hey, you have to tell us where we can find you if you want to be found on the internet.
If I
want to
be found. You can please check me out on Twitter and Twitch. I'm Hey Bay Island. You can also check out my Ko-fi and my little mini portfolio at heybay.moe. And I'm trying to... come out from the crust of the earth so that I may be regarded again, and that includes the sexy art I do, so you know, check it out.
Check it out. Paul, what do you got?
Hey, what's up? As always, you can find me at Paul's Rockin' Twit on Twitter. Lately, I've been sort of spinning things up more on the Twitch side of things once again, so twitch.tv/Bonzi77. As always, you can find any voice acting stuff I'm going to be doing over on Vox's VoiceOver Nexus. And, actually, I think that's it. Did I miss anything? Nah, that's it.
Cool beans. I've got a whole spiel here. Here we go. All right. As always, you can find me at Kami Jace Gaming on Twitter, and you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Do you know why? Because it helps the show. It helps the show grow. people in Norway listen to me, and then they rate and review, and then I get a bunch of listeners in Norway.
And if the podcast gets big enough, maybe Jace actually will pay me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Can I get paid?
Guests can possibly get paid, potentially, if people review the show, and then I start getting more listeners.
We need a lot more listeners.
And then I get ad revenue.
Ooh, ad rev.
Can you believe it? So once again, my Norway analogy, okay? People in Norway listen to me, they review the show, and then I get a bunch of listeners in Norway. So imagine if, like, the United States did that. There's way more people here, I think. I can't count. Be sure to check out the links in the description of this episode, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week, and support your favorite charities and support our show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian of Doghouse Esports. Follow Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian. That's DoghouseCorgian. That's on Twitter. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise. That's DoghUnderscore Noise. Find them both. They're great. That's all for the weekly cooldown. I'm Kami Jace.
I'm Paul Healers Adjust Henderson.
And I'm Hay.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.